Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's the happy hour. It's Thursday, J6 hearing day. And I'm quite excited. Little buddy, how you feeling?
Oh, Crudy, I am stoked, man. 3 hours from right now. Hopefully we'll see some sort of start of accountability for these insurrectionist bastards.
And I also understand you got the big boo. Blue Cadillac.
Driving that boat
around the city of Milwaukee.
1976 baby blue Cadillac Eldorado convertible. It was my grandmother's. Had it in storage. Got it out last year. I guess a couple years ago. It's summertime now, man. Got it insured. Got to burn up all that old gas. Not looking forward to filling that thing up anytime soon. But, yeah, it's a beautiful day here in Milwaukee, and we are stoked.
What'd you call the insurance agent and say, can I get the, like, until after Summerfest deal? Yeah,
totally, man. Gonna park it, park it all winter long. Give me like 3-4 months and we'll shut it off again.
That's just being efficient with your financial resources.
Absolutely.
So, Dominic, I am quite excited about the January 6th hearings going off. And,
yeah,
you know, I'm a little concerned. I'm hearing about some of the witnesses and stuff, and I don't want live witnesses. I don't want anything left to chance. I want the timing, you know, to be lickety split. I want them playing people off the stage with music, like at the Oscars. If you've taken too long, just play the music, keep the it hook. Moving. We got more awards to keep. And will they potentially run overtime? And what happens if they do? Now we got Evan. Evan's going to work late tonight. We're going to broadcast it live right here on Devil Radio in the Shaw, 540 AM and 101 FM. So we're going to do our part. We're going to play it till it's done. But what are you expecting tonight? A tightly choreographed event? Or, you know, could they get a little loosey-goosey like an extra inning ball game?
I think it will be coordinated. I believe they have, you know, hired like a, you know, media producer. I mean, they're putting effort forward to make this. And it's very important that they make this, you know, digestible for the American people and get the facts out. You know, does it go longer than the, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours that they initially said that? Well, who knows? I mean, they started with 8 hearings and now they're down to 6. So perhaps they'll try to, you know, jam a little bit more in. Either way, I'm going to be watching. Everybody should be watching. There are a few hints coming out in the last couple of, I mean, in the last 24 hours. You know, new audio tapes released. Kevin McCarthy. I know you got there earlier.
Oh, we just played some of that.
Yeah, I mean,
there should be accountability.
Yes, must be accountability. Well, I'm going to do everything in my power. I mean, what? So, you know, politics gets in the way of doing the right thing for many people, certainly the Republicans in this case. But Adam Schiff is quoted in the New York Times today, a couple paragraphs here. Committee aides say the evidence will show that Mr. Trump was at the center of a coordinated, multi-step effort to overturn the results of the 2020 election that resulted in a mob of his supporters storming the halls of Congress and disrupting the official electoral count that is a pivotal step in the peaceful transfer of presidential power. Here's the quote from Schiff. We'll demonstrate the multi-pronged effort to overturn a presidential election, how one strategy to subvert the election led to another, culminating in a violent attack on our democracy. It's an important story and one that must be told to ensure it never happens again. And I just love the reporting, and as we've all, you know, perhaps most of us have thought that Trump was at the center of this. It's really coming out like Trump is at the center. That is the point. All the reporting is leaning towards that. The testimony is leaning towards that. Some of the updates I saw today, the Georgia election officials, Brad Raffensperger and Gabe Stellantis, I think his name was, are both going to be testifying at some point, I believe later this month, at the J6 committee. New York Times reporting also that Nick Quested, he was the documentarian embedded with the Proud Boys during the attack. He will also testify. Carolyn Edwards, the first Capitol Police officer injured in the attack, will also testify. So I believe my assumption is that those two will testify today. There was a quote from the New York Times. I want to get to this as well. Republicans are planning counter-messaging that began on Thursday morning when the party's House leaders took turns at a news conference on Capitol Hill bashing the panel's work as illegitimate and a sham. Now, illegitimate and a sham. Of course, we just heard the audio from McCarthy right afterwards. So it's funny how things, you know, kind of form, evolve into an illegitimate sham. They argue that the committee was out of touch with the pocketbook concerns of many Americans. And, of course, true to the form, I believe it was Rolling Stone that was reported, you know, the talking points of what the Republicans must do to counter-program. Steve Scalise from Louisiana, the number two Republican, said this. Is Nancy Pelosi going to hold a primetime hearing on inflation? I'd sure like to see that. I think a lot of American would. A lot of Americans would. Is Nancy Pelosi going to hold a primetime hearing on lowering gas prices? They've refused to so far. And I get they're following the orders, but it's pretty friggin' weak.
844-967-2789. Now, you, my little buddy, you're going to the Roe McCoy.
Yeah, man, yes.
You're going to make it a party event, as only you can.
Going to have it on the TVs, going to have the audio on. Drinks will flow. Come down, say hi, and let's see if we can take our country back, make America great again. You know? I mean, think about how terrible this is. It's so opposite world, bizarro world of what Donald Trump, make America great again, and then he goes and leads a coup attempt, against this country. And that is what this J6 committee is going to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. And I fully hope, and some of the other reporting coming out this week, I fully hope that the DOJ is seemingly ramping up some of their investigations. Lots of grand juries are out. I mean, can you imagine if they go and arrest Trump like the day after? Or, you know, I mean, just think about what needs to happen. If
come on, you're starting to get hyperbolic like Jesse Waters.
If it
now
is shown, come on, I mean, were you kidding me? Donald Trump was at the center of this. They're going to have multiple, many, many people, testimony, text messages, emails, video, audio. Donald Trump was at the center of this. He was dancing when Rome was burning. So if those things come to pass and the evidence is so overwhelming and people are just so freaked out, like, oh, my God, I cannot believe this guy has not yet been arrested. Man, wouldn't that just be great by the end of these six hearings that he actually is?
Well, anywhere during the course of these six hearings, preferably on June 14th on his birthday. Take the man down on your birthday and his birthday.
What a great gift to me on my birthday.
Well, you know, Dominic, what I'm doing on my birthday this year is apparently has become my last 2 years birthday tradition. Now, last year, my birthday fell on a Saturday, but I was invited on Mike Emanuel on Fox News Sunday, and I went. Sort of hungover. Had a very nice driver. Yeah, made him pick me up at the campgrounds up by the camper. You know, kind of moderated. Only drank till like 2 a.m.
Oh, very good. I mean, yes. Yeah, be an adult about these things.
Well, you know, my son's got the graduation party. I think all of you have been invited down to the big event this Saturday. And I'm going back on Fox News on Sunday. And I anticipate being on sometime early afternoon Central. And, Dominic, you know, here's my thought. I went to Fox News, just their digital component, just to see where they're featuring the January 6th coverage, you know, 3 hours before the big hearing starts. It is the 28th story on the Fox News page, 28th from the top. Do you know what 27th is from the top, Dom? Florida man arrested arrested after a teen records him masturbating in front of her bus stop and the 29th story, the one just past the January 6th hearing, live updates. Judy Garland at 100. Late Wizard of Oz stars children reveal how they're keeping the actress's legacy alive.
I had a beat off.
A Florida man.
A Florida man beating off at the bus stop.
And very important. I mean, really doing a service to their audience, aren't they?
And how are Judy Garland's kids, you know, partying for her 100th birthday? Were she still alive? And then a political cartoon, something, you know, negative towards Joe Biden, I suspect. So that's where Fox News is at. And that's I'm going on Fox News on Sunday.
Are you gonna call him out on this, man? I know Jesse Waters went off the rails. I mean, they're ignoring this very important.
This will be the topic. Last time, you know, here's I promised I was going to do something radical.
Don't make promises you can't keep, man.
But, you know, that was a different time, a simpler time. And I hadn't yet properly been, let's say, incited to go do my best on Fox News. But if the questions, and you know what? Here we are. Last time they invited me on Fox News, they gave me like a dozen topics. Tons of topics, like all kinds of topics. You know what they've told me? It's Thursday afternoon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Supposed to appear this weekend. No topics yet. We're keeping it completely wide open. Which is, you know, that's fine because I wasn't going to go study your freaking homework anyway. Well,
good, man. Choose your own adventure, Karuti. You get to choose the topics then. They can ask whatever question they want, but you can provide the answers that you choose.
I'm going to say, because unfortunately, the Fox News viewers haven't really had proper coverage of the January 6th, and we've been providing live coverage right here on Devil Radio and the Shaw. Let me tell you what you missed. And I'm going to keep talking until they turn off my mic. We'll see.
We'll see.
It's not so much to get thrown out. It's just better inform your audience kind of a appearance. For my birthday, man.
Do us proud, Michael.
I hope to. Or, you know, maybe I'll be incredibly hungover. Yes, might be the case. And then
still
I'll just
do us
try
proud.
I'll pry my eyes open, as I often do. And, you know, I'll do my best. But tomorrow I'm going to have my J6 hearing hangover, man. Because, you know, this is like a triple-double Kobe Bryant, like NBA Finals kind of an event. I'm pouring them thick. And I'm going to enjoy the events of this evening. And I hope to talk to you. 844-967-2789. It's J6 hearing night. Party night. Come back. More Devils.
It's the most important thing you can do is to take responsibility.
No, I don't take responsibility at all.
Sorry to crush your hopes and dreams.
It is absolutely 150% your fault.
I had to beat off all this stuff.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocate.
And we are back. Thanks for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Happy J6 committee hearing night to us all. Join us on the phones, 844-967-2789. Quick little update here, Curdy, on a similar related topic. CBS News reporting federal prosecutor told judge that the DOJ expects the House January 6th committee to release transcripts of their witness interviews later this year, potentially around September.
Why not now?
Do it now. So maybe damn Trump it. Won't get picked up by the end of the month, but maybe in September.
I feel like Veruca Salt. I want it now, Daddy. 844-967-2789. I want your calls, your opinions. Yes, do it now. Mark from the SAC, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the things tonight. It's just kind of ridiculous, the distraction the Republicans are trying to play on this, you know, that Elise Stefanik, who apparently is a full-blown Trumper right now, that's saying, well, why don't they have in hearings on the price of gas and yada, 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 and inflation and all this, you know, to try to distract people from this. You know, that's what's really important is inflation is high. Well, yes, inflation is high, but it's a worldwide phenomenon that the president can't do squat about, really. And that And this is an assault on our democracy itself.
You know, maybe we should take the Republicans up on their offers of primetime hearings on things like the price of gas.
Yes.
And maybe we should bring the oil executives in and talk about why the Oil Price Gouging Act, why all the Democrats supported it and all the Republicans, barring like four, opposed it. And, of course, it'll never pass the Senate. Maybe we should bring that to the attention of the American people. Because other than guys like you, Mark, most people don't know such things.
Well, you know, and the fact of the matter is I keep half an ear open and listen to some of the stuff. Otherwise, I go insane, going down the rabbit hole that this could lead to. But picking up on some of the facts and actually being educated over the years and having, you know, nitwits like Inspiration Point, if you're listening, use your real name for God's sake, and rather than insulting me and saying I don't get myself educated, that if I wasn't educated, I wouldn't refer to the Federalist Papers or Madison's constant notes to the Constitutional Convention or books like Far Worse for a Woman, talking about the slave trade and women, that what was unto female slaves during slavery in this country, that you have to educate yourself, and you can't just, you know, and Republicans must think we're all stupid. They want us to be stupid.
Well, they're stupid. You know what I mean? If you're dumb, if you're blissfully ignorant, if you have no desire whatsoever to educate yourself beyond the most rudimentary of talking points on Fox News or right-wing talk radio, well, then, of course, you assume everyone's like you. Well, I'm lazy. I don't really need that book learning or education. And those that do, hell, I'm going to resent those people, those elitists, because they probably get paid more and, you know, they're probably not harmed as much by the gas prices as I am driving my dually pickup truck, getting 9 miles to the gallon, right? Because I bet it hurts in certain families, certain neighborhoods. If everybody's driving a pickup truck, I bet gas prices matter a hell of a lot to you. If you got a Prius, I don't think you're crying in your beer. Probably.
844-967-2789. I'm with you, Crudy. All right, set it up. Let's bring in some
prime
witnesses.
Time, baby.
Let's talk about it. I'm down. Absolutely. I am down with that. Say yes. Gene from Eau Claire. Say yes. Welcome, Gene. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jeannie.
Hi, I didn't know the question. Sorry.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Anyway, see, I have to turn my radio off to call, out on my dial-up internet, so there's not any noise when I call, so I miss a little bit beforehand. But I love the guy that came before me there. What a wonderful man, just like the rest of your listeners. What?
Well, not all of them, Jeannie, or you haven't been listening close enough. Hell, I wonder about some of the panelists some days.
Well, I think you got some pretty good panelists there. You guys do a great job. I got my notebooks, a lot of them, because I'll be writing, and my pens and my spot right in front of the television to take a lot of notes, because I cannot believe that this is history. You know, like at 67 years old, and my mother's 88, and she can't sleep at night because of, you know, of what's going on in our country. My mom remembers when you got gas vouchers. When there was a war going on, where each person got so much for gas because they didn't have gas.
They rationed.
Yes. Yes, and they got regular tickets to how much they could get, you know, in the week or whatever. My grandfather, he would go to, in town, they'd have to have lights out at a certain time, and he was one of the people go around the flashlight to make sure every person in the house turned the goddamn lights off. So, you know, I mean, when I know it's a horrible thing for some people that are really having difficulties with money, and they should help them with some kind of, you know, help for their gas price when they got to go back and forth to work. But some of those people are so goddamn selfish, they don't give a rat's butt about anybody else. And it's really sad to see that, because we should be caring for one another except ripping people apart and then going after somebody with a judge. I thought maybe that was a setup in the other direction. Maybe a Republican went over and did that so he could draw attention, you know, to that situation.
There's just as much proof on that side as well, Jeannie.
Yeah, and I shouldn't be saying that kind of stuff, but you know what? They have no proof. Somebody can see anything they want to. Anyway, you guys have a great night.
Jeannie,
thank you so much.
Real quick, before we let you off, when I see you in homeroom tomorrow, can I have your notes from the January 6th hearing? And I'll share them with Dominic.
Please.
You can read them.
Jeannie.
Take care, guys.
Yeah, I really appreciate you listening. Folks, we are the devil's advocates. You know, we're in the back of the class. So
yes, yes.
Jeannie will sit in the front of the class, and she'll take the
notes.
Good notes.
Yep.
And then we'll study her notes for the quiz later in the afternoon right here. Devil's Advocates, 3 to 6 p.m. Central Time if you listen live. But hell, you can hear us all around WCPT, 820 a.m. Progressive Voices. We're playing damn near any time of day, night or day. Devil's Advocates, we're your favorites. You're listening right now. Come back.
It's a process. It's a process. We'll get it done.
I know you gotta be frustrated. I can taste it.
Hi there.
I'm on my way, I'm making it.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
I've got to make it show, yeah.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition. We are joined right now live via phone by a fine guest. He is U.S. senatorial candidate Alex Lazary from the great state of Wisconsin. Alex, welcome back to the Devils.
Thanks so much for having me. Great to be back.
Thanks,
well, Alex, I saw a quote from you, a little press miss of you. You and the campaign team put out earlier today. Ron Johnson is a threat to democracy. Do tell more, sir.
Please.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, we're talking about, you know, one, his stance and views on the January 6th insurrection, right? His view that that was just a peaceful protest. And, you know, that, and his spread of the big lie as well, right? That the, you know, that the election was rigged, and, you know, that Donald Trump is still the winner, right? These type of things, him voting against voting rights, the John Lewis Voting Rights Act and the Freedom to Vote Act, right? These are all things that we can be doing to make, you know, democracy, you know, stronger. And Ron Johnson has time and time again been on the opposite side. And that's, you know, that's one of the reasons we're in this race, is to make sure that, you know, people know that this is the stakes of the election, right? Democracy is on the ballot here. And we have to make sure that, you know, Ron Johnson goes home so that we can continue to strengthen our democracy.
Alex, specifically, Ron Johnson on January 6th had every intention of challenging the certification of the Biden Electoral College vote. And somewhere during the course of the day, he lost his nerve. But subsequent to that, and obviously tonight, Alex, is the January 6th hearing. But subsequent to that, somewhere along the line, Ron Johnson became a denialist, a whitewasher, and an apologist for the January 6th, for those supposed patriots, as he might describe them, that attacked the Capitol. And Alex, I'm sure you've read the press accounts. How do you see what has been described? If you had a, you know, paint a picture, how bad do you think it was, sir? And how can Ron deny it?
Yeah, look, you know, I think, you know, we've all seen what Ron has said. And, you know, I think, you know, the facts speak for themselves, right? Senator Johnson has continuously denied and, you know, wouldn't accept the election results for months. And again, continues to vote against voting rights and making it easier and providing resources so that we can make voting safer and our democracy stronger. And, you know, he's, you know, just as we've said, just a threat and a danger to, you know, where democracy is. You know, I think also that we need to also just not just talk about that. And I know the hearings are important, but he's also a threat to how Wisconsin's going to grow over the next 10 years, right? He's actively trying to move jobs overseas. He's actively trying to move jobs to other states, right? Ron Johnson's not just a threat to democracy. He's also a threat to the state of Wisconsin and how we're going to be able to, you know, grow and bring more jobs and investment here. And that's what I think this race is about, right? It's not just about what happened on January 6th. It's about what's going to happen for the next 10 years. And how do we bring more jobs and investment here? And we need a U.S. senator who's not going to advocate for jobs to go to South Carolina, like the Oshkosh trucking jobs, the one who's going to make sure that those jobs and investment come here to Wisconsin.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Alex Lazary, a U.S. senatorial candidate, joins us on the phone. Alex, I want to get to the jobs, but I want to throw one more item out there regarding Ron Johnson. Obviously, lots of mass shootings in this country. It's a daily occurrence. Another one today, unfortunately, Alex, multiple people killed in a mass shooting in a Maryland factory. New York Post and several other outlets are reporting today right now. When Ron Johnson was asked about, you know, gun safety legislation, his response was, well, let's, you know, start by enforcing the laws on the books, starting with Hunter Biden. That's how serious Senator Johnson has taken this, Alex. What's your take on gun safety going forward?
Yeah, you know, this is, I think, going to be one of the more important issues of the campaign, right? And, you know, Ron Johnson just isn't even taking this issue seriously or the lives of our children seriously. You know, the problem is that the laws on the books were being enforced. But the person in Buffalo, the person in Uvalde, people around the country where these mass shootings are happening are buying these guns legally. And we're the only candidate in this race to put out a public safety plan, which had a three-prong approach, right? One was to make sure that, you know, our law enforcement had the resources they need to be able to do their jobs and train, making sure that we're investing in our public infrastructure, right? So things like after-school programs, job training programs, making sure that we've got, you know, better lit streets. And then also gun reform, right? Making sure that we're banning assault weapons, making sure that we're providing strong background checks, you know, raising the age to 21 to, you know, to be able to purchase a weapon, right? These are all things that we can do to make sure that our public safety is safe. Mental health and school infrastructure and school safety, 100% we need to be investing in that. But these aren't either ors, right? We can make sure that we are investing in school safety, investing in infrastructure and mental health, while also ensuring that that we take some time to ensure that bad guys aren't getting guns to cause harm to people shopping for groceries or kids going to school.
Well, Alex, I think Ron Johnson went beyond those simple statements. I think he blamed mass shootings on wokeness and critical race theory. Insulting to the conscience, but apparently he thinks there's a base somewhere for these sort of responses. I saw Manu Raju, a reporter from CNN, chasing him down the Senate hallways. He's been less than courageous facing the public on this. It's a difficult thing to face when you've taken $1.3 million from the NRA. But the statements about wokeness and critical race theory, candidate Lazary, any thoughts on that quickly?
Yeah, it's just, again, it's still just embarrassing, right? And it just shows that he's not taking this seriously, right? And I don't think he's been dodging the media on this. I think he's been very upfront. We got to take his statement at face value, right? When he says that, you know, all of these are a matter of wokeness or critical race theory or, you know, Hunter Biden, right? That's showing that the state of Wisconsin doesn't have a U.S. senator who's actually interested in solving problems and is actually interested in protecting our kids and protecting our citizens, right? And that's why we're the only candidate to have put out a public safety plan, because we're taking this issue seriously. We're making sure that we're showing the people of Wisconsin that when we get to the U.S. Senate, we're going to ensure that we're delivering and bringing public safety, to the state. And that's why I think our plan is one of the most comprehensive plans you're seeing around the country.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We got to find U.S. senatorial candidate from the great state of Wisconsin. He's, I guess, you're a Milwaukee Bucks executive on leave as you campaign, sir. And you rolled out a workers' bill of rights today. And Alex, I know you've had the support of a lot of our friends and unions. And part of that is because you were part of the build out, the FISERV, and the relationships you built with those unions at that time. Well, it's translated. They like you, sir. They've supported you. And now you've got a proposal to support working people. Tell our audience about it, would you please, Alex?
Yeah, so today we put out our Workers' Bill of Rights, and you know, the reason we did so is just because, you know, the workers in the U.S. have just been losing ground since, you know, the early 1980s. And as a result, we've seen rising inequality. And wages have stagnated, you know, across multiple sectors of our economy. And so we wanted to put out a workers' bill of rights that, you know, ensure that unions have the you know, people have the right to organize, that we're raising wages, giving people paid family leave, you know, making this economy one that that's working for everyone. And that's what this workers' bill of rights is for. And again, this just continues our campaign of constantly working, you know, to put out policies for working people. It's why we've got the support of labor that we have and the momentum that we have in this campaign, right? We went from, you know, 5% in the polls to now tied for first. It's because we're the ones talking about how we're going to make this economy work for everyone and ensuring that we're putting more money back in people's pockets so that everyone has the ability to get a good union job that's going to pay them a living wage.
Alex, our good friend, Dr. Harvey Kaye, he often appears here on our show, and he's been advocating for an economic bill of rights. Perhaps your avocations more broadly, but Alex, part of your plan, do you have a minimum wage threshold? Tell us a few, flesh out a few of the details, if you would.
Yeah, so we talk about raising the federal minimum wage to $15. You know, we want to index it, indexing and parity for tipped workers as well. We want to make sure that we're guaranteeing every worker the right to be a member of a union, guarantee every worker paid leave, you know, pass the Paycheck Fairness Act, and, you know, make sure that we're also classifying gig workers as employees for union rights purposes. So, you know, outlawing right to work. Right. These are all things that I think will help make this this economy fairer and give workers a better seat at the table. And that's something that we're doing. Right. What I think we've shown also in Fiserv Forum is that these progressive values and workers' rights are good for business. Right. This is how we're going to be able to grow our economy. Make sure that we're investing in workforce training and education. Right. This is how we're going to grow our economy and make sure that people are able to take home a little bit more of what they earn. So that's, you know, when you look at all the plans that we put, whether it's the Worker Bill of Rights or, you know, putting more money in people's pockets plan, this is about how we're making sure that we're raising wages because this is how we're going to, you know, grow the middle class.
Alex, I appreciate you putting it on paper, and the $15 minimum wage thing is something that we support here. And but I can't help but think, you know, when Senator Sanders was running for president, and he talked about it quite a bit. I mean, this is now going on a couple of years ago, and obviously inflation lately has gone up quite a bit. Hell, even looking at a 5% inflation rate for 2 years would make $15 an hour 2 years ago over $16.50 today. And given that would actually take probably a year or two, perhaps, to push something like this through, do you think 15 is really even enough, Alex?
Hey, look, I mean, I think when we're talking about a minimum wage, $15 is what we're fighting for. But I think we need to start to think about how are we making sure that people aren't just getting paid a minimum wage, right? That's the fight that we have to be about, is how are we making sure that we're raising wages for everyone in this country? Right, and that starts with making sure that we are investing in our workforce. You know, today we were in Eau Claire, you know, visiting, technical college. We were, you know, making sure that we went to the pipe trades to talk about, you know, how we can, you know, bring more people into the trades. Right, these are all how we're going to invest in a skilled workforce that's going to make it so that people are making, you know, $40-$50 an hour, and that's what our goal is in this campaign is. Yes, you know, we want to make sure that we're able to get to a $15 minimum wage, which would double, more than double the minimum wage here in Wisconsin, right? That's pretty significant, and I think a lot of workers would be really happy with a double of their minimum wage. But the key and things that we need to start talking more about is how are we making it so that people aren't worried about the minimum wage? How do we make it so that people are able to make $30, $40, $50 an hour because we've got such a skilled and trained workforce? That's a lot of what our plan is talking about. That's why unions are so important, because they're able to negotiate higher wages and better benefits. And that's what we need if we want to make sure that we're growing our middle class again.
Candidate Alex Lasry, candidate for the U.S. Senate. Alex, I'm sure out there on the campaign trail, people are asking you about the high gas prices and inflation. And obviously, you're a candidate. You'd like to join the U.S. Senate. If you get there, sir, what do you do? How do you help the American people on these issues?
So I think there are a couple things, right? There's some things in the short term that we can do and things in the longer term that we can do. I think in the short term, we put out putting more money in people's pockets plan that, you know, people can go to our website, alexlazary.com, and check out. You know, we want to get rid of the Trump tax cuts, which actually hurt working people, right? It took away a lot of our tax deductions for working people, like gas mileage to and from work, work boots, your work tools. Got rid of the home office tax deduction, right? We sent home people home for COVID, and they got rid of the home office tax deduction, right? These are all things that, you know, help you take home a little bit more of what you earn. Expanding the child care tax credit, right? These are all ways to minimize mitigate the effects of inflation right now by putting more money in people's pockets so their salaries are actually getting a little bit bigger. The things we can do in the longer term, are ensuring that we're building more things in America to, you know, to with higher waged employees and less supply chain issues. So these are the plans that we can do in the U.S. Senate right now. The problem is Ron Johnson's doing nothing, and he's actually in a position of power to do something, and that's why we need a change.
Candidate Alex Lazary for the U.S. Senate from Wisconsin. Alex, thanks so much. More Devils. We'll be back.
I've never really felt it was society's responsibility to take care of other people's children.
If you're not happy here, you can leave.
The Devil's Advocates. Rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can join us on the phones, toll-free talk or text. You can hit us up 844-967-2789.
Dominic, want to thank our most recent guest, a fine one, U.S. senatorial candidate, Alex Lazary, on leave from his position as a Milwaukee Bucks executive. And I've already, you know, texted the campaign, thank them for bringing him around. And we do thank you, Alex. But he did get to skip out on the very toughest of questions.
Boston or Golden State?
Yeah, exactly.
I know, man. I had it written down. I ran out of time.
I had Golden State or Celtics. and he just, you know, I we're down less than 10 seconds. I had to say goodbye. You know, I couldn't ask him another question. So anyway.
Could have blown through the break, but no, I mean,
the world will never know the answer.
We'll find out.
Text
his campaign right now. You said,
I did.
Thank
I
you.
Did. Ask didn't
him
answer.
Ask him his opinion. Oh, you did ask him on that particular
question?
Well,
said he missed the tough one, Golden State or the Celtics. And they just said, thanks for having him on.
I'm calling it Boston, man. Once they beat the Bucks, I assume they're to be the champions. So I'm going with Boston.
Well, they are up 2-1. And I got to tell you, I'm not an NBA fan. And once the Bucks were out, you know, I kind of stopped paying attention. I watched the paper, but I haven't been watching the games. I've watched
great
like
game yesterday.
One additional NBA game since the Bucks lost.
Oh, it's the championship, man. Come on.
Baseball season, baby. Although the Brewers are kind of slumping this week as well. It was good up until like a week ago, but it's been a tough week for the Brewers. But you know what's going to make it all worthwhile, Tom?
What's
January 6th hearings.
Yeah.
It's going to be like the Super Bowl, the World Series, March Madness, and the Masters all wrapped into
now,
one.
Now, Crudy, you know, as the Rolling Stone, I believe, reported, there's talking points out. We heard Scalise, a little bit of quote from him about inflation and having a hearing on gas prices, right?
Tom,
well, you know it's bad. You know it's bad when Scott Walker, the former gubernator from state of Wisconsin, crawls out of his hole, shows up on the news maxi pad, and has something to say about this. If you would please, Brian, let's play Walker.
The bottom line is, I know in my state in Wisconsin, across the country, people think this is an absolute joke. People have moved on from this issue a year and a half ago. What they care about is their gas prices going up almost every single day. They'd love to have hearings on that. They'd love to have some action on that. I think anybody who does tune in, even for a few minutes, is going to be outraged that these knuckleheads in Washington aren't spending their time actually dealing with issues that matter to the American people. So.
Yeah. Like coup d'etats against the United States government.
Right,
Winker.
Right. Russ, yes,
Winker. Well, he's just a poor man's authoritarian.
Yes, he absolutely
He didn't have the charisma to be a national authoritarian. He wanted to take his fascistic little show on the road, talking about Scotty Winker. You know, the people just didn't like him enough. He didn't have right-wing talk radio all around the nation to prop his dead ass and his dead eyes up.
But it doesn't make any sense when he starts. Well, you know, people in Wisconsin. Yeah, the first part of that, Brian, just play the first couple of seconds again. The people in the state of Wisconsin across the country. What? If you would,
they're still outraged about the rigged 2020 election at the Republican convention, right? They're still having this war in Wisconsin, Winker, your party.
The bottom line is, I know in my state in Wisconsin, across the country, people think this is absolute joke. Wait,
so I know in my state in Wisconsin and across the country. I mean, he's just so used to saying things like that. It doesn't have any relevance to his point because he's from Wisconsin. If you're from Wisconsin, you may have an idea, but you don't. All you're doing is reading the talking points like a good little propagandist.
Well, most of the time these days, he's out at the Reagan Ranch, isn't he? Running the young Nazi youth organization.
As long as it's not around here, man. But there you go. There's your fix for the day.
I was going to say, Winker. Freaking Winker. If you needed the talking points, you just go to CJ. Welcome back, CJ. What do you got for us?
How about that gas and inflation, man?
What about Afghanistan, CJ?
Yeah, 13 soldiers.
A million dead in COVID, man. So what? I mean, I'm not saying these people's lives weren't important, but we had 13 people dead this weekend from mass shootings. You never have a solution, CJ.
Yeah, I listened to Lazier or whatever his name is. He had no solutions for the death and destruction in Milwaukee last weekend either. It's like listening to Chicago. You know, the Chicago mayor, she doesn't care about the lives lost. She thinks they're going to have...
How does Lori Lightfoot affect your life as a white dude in Milwaukee, CJ? And you don't even probably live in Milwaukee. I suspect you're out in the burbs.
I guess I still care about them, though.
Oh, is that what it is? Your big heart? You're just bleeding over with sympathy for the plight of black Chicagoans?
All right, hey, CJ, so the state of New York has now made it illegal for anyone under 21 to buy an assault rifle starting on the 13th, on Monday, I believe, state of New York. Is that something you'd support here in the state of Wisconsin, CJ?
I'm willing to look at any solutions, but note that it's a Democrat-run city, too. And if
what about the ones down south where they have the mass shootings in their Republican-run cities, CJ? I just don't hear as much talk about them on Fox News.
Tonight is going to be this theatrical thing, that movie producer. It's going to kind of be a flop like the pencil neck $25 million, 2.5 year fiscal responsibility that you...
Oh, when you start giving a damn about money, tell me about Gableman's. He's doing a state and local investigation for partisan ends. He's almost up to $1 million and counting. You're worried about the money? Come on, man. That's a drip in the bucket, CJ. We got a $4.5 trillion federal budget. Stop talking about $25 million. That's a hammer at the Pentagon.
What about $85 billion we left behind in Afghanistan with those 13 soldiers?
Oh, come on, man.
What about the southern cities that have a higher murder rate, that are Republican-led, that have a higher murder rate than Chicago? What about?
Well, it's all facts, aren't they?
Well, that is actually factually true, CJ.
You know,
they don't tell you that on Fox News, but there are cities with higher murder rates than Chicago, and some of them are led by Republican mayors. But every headline you see on Fox News, liberal mayor, Democrat leaders,
Democrat.
Crime rampant in Democrat cities. Except some Republican cities, Republican-led cities, have higher crime rates.
Higher murder
but it
rates.
Just doesn't, you know, it doesn't punchline as well on Fox News, CJ. And also, when I get a look, I mean, even you are talking about the January 6th. You can dismiss it, say it's theatrical, whatever you want to say, CJ. But when I go on the Fox News site and I got to dig 28 stories deep to find a story about the lead, I mean, who's giving you the fair and balanced? It ain't Fox News, CJ. I'm just saying. It ain't Fox News. You want to get fair and balanced on Fox News? Tune in on Crudy's birthday.
Let's just call it Fox.
Sunday.
Let's not insult news anymore. Let's just call it Fox. It's just Fox.
Well, I'm going to give it to you straight on Sunday. You tune in. You and all your conservative buddies. See if you can handle the 2.5 minutes they frame me into talking about Joe Biden's open borders in Afghanistan and whatever Hunter issues Biden. They grab from ass. Kind of like you do, CJ. Come back. More Devils.
The guy was very, very angry and tired, and he wants to go home. Wank.